We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
FIU 30, Miami 24. Morgan backs up. He takes a right knee. Unbridled joy for FIU. Desolation for Miami. A stunning upset at Marlins Park on the site of the old Orange Bowl. Instead of hallowed ground, it becomes haunted ground. FIU 30, Miami 24, and that's your final score.
Brady back to throw. Pump fakes it, now throws it, and all they just have to do, they... Edelman makes the catch. They flip it back. The ball is on the ground. Brady picks it up. He throws it forward, it looked like. Threw it back to a lineman. The lineman throws it back again to Brady. Brady tosses it to Watson. Watson to Edelman. Edelman throws it across the field. One of the linemen, Toomey, picks it up. The ball is in Sanu's hands, and he is tackled, but he hands it back
White's
to White. White's got it, and he finally fumbles
Dolphins
the football.
Have it now.
The Dolphins got it, and the football game is over. God bless America and all the ships at sea. Wow.
What a win for this Miami Dolphin team. What a way to finish the season.
27-24, the Miami Dolphins beat the New England Patriots, knocking them out of the number two seed in the AFC playoffs.
Who let the dogs out?
A lot of clues for you, Leroy, for this code word. For the tickets, $2,000 cash giveaway. Your word this hour.
Dog. Underdog.
Underdog. Well done.
Hey, so.
Underdog.
So question. I knew you were doing that to give me a hint. To give me a hint on what the code word was. But I swear I heard Weddleman.
Oh, he said Weddleman.
Can you go back?
Weddleman. Yeah,
he said, oh, he tossed it back to Weddleman.
Was he thinking of Welker? Did he make him Welker? Did he make Julian Edelman Wes Welker?
I don't know.
Weddleman gets the play.
But he sounded so enthusiastic about it, too.
Fakes it, now throws it, and all they just have to do, they Edelman makes the catch. They flip it back. The ball is on the ground. Brady picks it up. He throws it forward, it looked like. Threw it back to a lineman. The lineman throws it back again to Brady. Brady tosses it to Watson. Watson to Edelman. Edelman throws it across the...
It's the greatest white receiver of all time.
Edelman. Edelman. I wonder if he gets credit for both, for Edelman and Welker's catches.
So anyway, your word this hour is underdog, UNDERDOG, underdog. Text that to 72881, and you are registered for your chance to win $1,000. Your next chance to win is at the top of next hour. Message data rates may apply. Don't text and drive. It's a national contest, and it is sponsored by Anna John Levine, Accident Attorneys. Yes.
Hey, dummies. It doesn't matter if you text it capital letters. It's to the wrong text line.
Yeah, 72881, dum-dum.
72881.
So we've had a weird show today, especially because we walked into the building today. We had a hit piece put on us.
Yes!
We had a hit piece put on us, and I don't appreciate it. Yesterday, Dina Lang made her debut as Martin Scorsese with this giant feature film of everybody mocking us because we didn't pay a bet that we were given no time to pay.
Right. The game ended. Like, look, rule of thumb, you should at least get 24 hours. Right? The game ended at 12:30, and by 8 o'clock, the video was out on us not paying our bet.
Do you want to hear what she wrote? This is what she wrote. I am a woman of my word and was fully prepared to do my entire show today dressed 100% in regulation pro football attire. But I didn't have to because I kicked Tobin and Leroy Horde's asses for a fourth consecutive year in a row in Bull Pick'em, which should have meant that they paid for their loss today by performing Beck's Loser karaoke style. Instead of doing the right thing, they bolted before I got to the station. Luckily, the rest of my work fam was there to pick up the pieces of my broken heart. Big thanks to everyone who was willingly participated in my foolishness today. And then tags Joe Rose and Lucy Lopez from Power 96 and Ashley O and Spanish and Hockman and Crowder and Solana and Julie Guy and Tamara G and TC from Kiss and Joe.
TC, he's 12.
TC and Len. Len! Not even go, Len. You want to put your name to this? I'll say your name, Len Weiner. Yeah, we haven't seen you in like 9 days.
And all of a sudden we see video evidence.
You got time for jokes? You got no time for meetings? Real nice to know where your priorities are. Go, Len. No time.
There was video from people we don't even talk to.
I don't need it. What the one of the, Lucy Lopez referred to me as guy with the hoodie the other day. She doesn't know me. She don't know me. I see her every morning.
Every morning.
Hey, guy with the hoodie. What? How about a little respect?
And the other thing is, I should not be required to sing a song that's not in English.
Yeah. I didn't know that Beck's Loser had Spanish in it. What is this? Horrible. You're the most strict bookie I've ever met, Dina Lang. Shakedown. Hit piece. Ridiculous. Let's get the headlines.
Mad. This is WAXYAM South Miami and WSFSFM HD2 Miramar, a radio.com sports station.
Adam Beasley is going to join us later this hour. We'll also give you a chance to win some Zach Brown Band tickets.
Zach Brown Band.
Little bit of chicken fried. I can do that song. Oh, beer on Friday night.
That's only because you hear the promo every hour.
Pair of jeans are fit.
Is that even a real, is that a real thing?
What?
A little bit of chicken fry?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got a Publix sub.
I told you, I got a No Bueno the other day.
I know.
You got the mangled Publix chicken tenders.
They diced it up. Did you online order it?
No.
Oh, dude.
I ordered it right in front of him. I saw the guy chopping it up like a Ginsu. I'm like, yo, whoa.
Hey, whoa, you a samurai? Calm down.
I'm like, he wouldn't stop. And there's a number of breading if you chop it up too much.
My Publix chicken tender sub comparison to Tua actually came to life. You actually got the bad Publix chicken tender sub.
You did. Although it seems like Tua's turned himself into a little filet mignon. So healthy. Good to hear.
By April.
Good to hear.
Well, could be throwing.
Maybe if you start eating healthy, his ankles and his
hips
will hold up. Oh, you know. when the Dolphins draft him,
if
he comes out to minicamp, what is the first thing you're going to see? The Dak Prescott.
Dan. Yeah, shaking the hip. That's what I would do. If I was doing a workout, I'd do the Dak Prescott. For sure.
And you know, everybody get excited about hip movement as a quarterback.
Honestly, the way things are going, this is how it works. Drafted by the Dolphins, his hip's not going to work. Drafted by the Chargers, Hall of Fame quarterback.
Really?
Yeah, that's the way it's working.
Science.
But can I ask you a question?
It's science.
Why do you guys keep doing this? So you basically think they can never turn this around?
Armando Sarcara wrote a giant column about how the Dolphins are cursed.
Dude, I mean, what are we going to...
Cursed.
Everybody's dancing cursed. On the... You know, like, what am I supposed to do? Ryan Tannehill's going to go win the Super Bowl. What am I supposed to do with this? You know, like, it just is what it is, man. Everybody leaves. Everybody gets happy.
No, hold on.
Mike Wallace and Ryan Tannehill are friends now.
Hold on. Wait. So y'all basically have three entries to beat Dina? No. Here's what the deal is, okay? We only have two because Robbie doesn't count. Because he's doing his old, I got to pick what everybody else don't pick so I can win.
Robbie,
and he never wins.
Yeah,
he never wins.
Robbie thinks that we're all suckers and that if he bets with the 95% on the Bulls that he is taking.
He can't win.
He's taking the coward's way out. And he wants to, in a bull pick him for some reason, needs to go and pick up all these bonus points on everybody because he thinks we're all going to be taken down. So he just does nothing but pick underdogs.
It's code word, by the way.
Underdog. Text it to 72881. What else you got, Robbie?
Chad Ochocinco, he's back in the news.
I am very excited about this news.
He is trying out to be a kicker for the XFL.
I want him to. I hope that the XFL does the right thing and just gives him the job. They shouldn't even make him audition.
So wait, how old is he?
I think he's 38. I want to say Ochocinco. Let's see. Chad Ochocinco. Oh, no, he's 42.
42.
42.
Kicker in the XFL, though. Why not?
You got to have intrigue or the league's going to fold.
Yeah, plus he loves soccer. Doesn't he play? Didn't he do some playing in Boca, like at a semi-pro league?
Really?
Yeah.
Didn't he also had that fastest man competition.
Oh, yeah. Didn't he race a horse?
Yeah, he did race a horse. And then he had that competition, I believe, at the BB&T Center, and then like nobody got paid.
And then Joe, no, that's right. What was that? That was like fastest 40.
Yeah, they had like Ted Ginn. They had a bunch of guys on that trial.
I do remember that. That's funny. And then of course we all remember his career as a Dolphin when he had that press conference where he said he was going to be a porn star, and then 2 weeks later Joe Philbin had to fire him on national television. Joe Philbin. Who is less prepared for their first head coaching gig to be on television than Joe Philbin?
That's why they changed the rule.
Crazy eyes?
Oh, Gase? I think Gase could handle it better than Philbin. Philbin was bewildered.
He always looked like he never spoke confident.
Nope.
And so
he always did this thing where like he thanked, and during speeches, he'd be like thanking the concession people. He'd be like, I just want to say, it's a hell of a job by our caterers here. Hell of a job. It's a hell of a job. Hell of a job. I'm just like, all right, Joe, thanks, man. We all just put our bodies on the line.
Is he not coaching now?
No, we don't know where he is.
Oh, you know, he was last seen blowing two challenges in the first minute.
I like Joe Philbin, though. Good dude.
That will go. Look, I'm tired of saying this to you. You can be a good dude and suck at your job. Right? Why does everybody take it so personal? You could suck at your job. The nice guy at the restaurant could suck at doing what he does.
It doesn't mean
he's not a nice dude.
Because, you know, like, as opposed to, like, Manny Diaz, who's very brash and bold and will do wild, because Joe Philbin just kind of minded his business. Like, he knew, you know, he'd tell you that he was queasy.
The worst thing he did was not support his quarterback.
Well, that was bad.
Which is that the worst thing you could do on a football team.
It worked, though.
He had his best game.
Tannehill balled after that. He balled. That was a great game. Good motivation tactic, quite frankly.
You think he was using a tactic?
Mm-hmm. No good? No sale?
I mean, I'm going to tell you what. When I go into a room and I lay on the couch and Joe Philbin's talking to me, I don't think I'm dealing with Dr. Phil.
You don't think you don't think he'd be a good recruiter?
For what?
It's college.
Right.
Speaking of tactics,
I'm still trying to figure out. This was my last tweet, too. I sent out a tweet.
Oh, really?
How can Philbin get a head coaching job and Eric Bieniemy, who is the offensive coordinator, who actually calls plays, can't get a sniff?
I'm not sure he calls plays. Because Andy Reid.
Okay, what? No, so he's a ventriloquist?
No,
because he's holding the card and Andy Reid's behind him reading it and calling the plays?
There's a video of people saying, like, of Eric Bieniemy calling plays.
Oh, then he calls plays.
And everybody was like, oh, I thought Eric Bieniemy didn't call plays.
Joe Philbin wasn't. What did he do in Green Bay?
He was a Fugazi offensive coordinator.
I mean, it does look like Andy Reid is supervising him. It does look like Andy Reid is like.
Well, he's the head coach. He supervises everyone. Look, here, contrary to popular belief, here's what the head coaches have. They have a switch, right? They can switch over and hear what all the defensive guys are saying and all the plays they're calling. They can hit that switch and listen to all the offensive plays.
Well, he doesn't need a switch because he's standing right next to him.
No, I know, but I'm just saying, like, you know, even from that close, you hear better through the headphones.
Oh, yeah, of course, because you have the microphone and they have all the sound around.
So yeah.
I'm right next to you. I hear you better with a microphone.
Oh, that's one of the maddest I ever got at you.
What? Oh, because you put your headset on.
Yeah,
you were stuffing your face full of waffle fries.
You told me to put, which are delicious, by the way.
Yeah.
You told me to put my headphones on, and I got mad that you wanted me
by
to talk.
By the way, I don't count this as a tweet from you because it was just a response to Rashad Butler, and that means that only people who follow you and Rashad Butler could see that tweet.
Oh, really?
I would like you to comment tweet on that so that way we all can see it.
Do what now? What do you do?
All right, man. You hit the retweet button and you hit retweet with comment, and then you could put your Joe Philbin comment on top of Rashad's tweet so we all can see it. That's why. I am with the people, though. I saw a lot of tweets that Eric Bieniemy should have just taken Bill O'Brien's job. I'm for that because Bill O'Brien sucks.
Yeah, he hasn't been fired yet, though, has he, Bill O'Brien?
Nah.
He's not going to get fired.
He's not going to get fired.
How are you going to get fired for going to the second round? What is wrong with fans?
I'm just saying. I'm just using an example. The Titans did this with Mike Mularkey. They got to the second round, and then they fired him immediately after the game, and then they hired Vrabel.
Does seem odd to me, though, that you would, like, it did. The one thing that was stupid with the head coaching vacancies this year, like, you guys didn't go through the play. Like, at least last year, the Dolphins waited through the playoffs. They were like, okay, we're going to wait and see.
Well, it's because the guy they wanted was still in the playoffs.
Right, but, like, nobody thought Eric Bieniemy, like, I mean, just why? Because they weren't breaking records like the year before? Because Eric Bieniemy got an interview with the Dolphins last year.
I tell you what, y'all remember Eric Bieniemy as a player?
Not really.
Eric's sleeping with Bieniemy.
Yeah, I remember Chris Berman's sayings.
Let's just put it this way. He's a lot bigger.
Hey, man. He's busy coaching.
Speaking of coaching and tactics, this gentleman, Alex Cora.
Let me tell you something. If you're coaching next to Andy Reid, you eating good. Like those late night late nights in the offices.
Or you're thinking, I can eat what I want because as long as I'm standing next to Andy Reid, I'm never going to look big.
I don't think he looks that big next to Andy Reid. I think he looks pretty good. He looks stocky.
He was a scat back.
Whatever, dude. He looks great.
No, he doesn't.
Oh, they're probably getting barbecue.
Look how tight that shirt
is. Robbie.
And Andy Reid is a lot smaller.
Robbie, how about the Kansas City barbecue that Andy Reid's probably getting sent during the coaching sessions?
Oh, man.
You know what's crazy? Like, Andy Reid is the same size as when he was 12. No, was that him did the pump, pass, and kick?
Yeah, that was him.
Yeah.
He looks the same size.
I'm telling you. Like, that coach is really eating good. They're eating real good. Like, Gase's, that's probably a terrible coaching room. They're probably it's probably nothing but, like, cigarettes and Red Bull.
Bath salts.
Yeah, it's probably terrible.
Oh, somebody said O'Brien is a GM, though. He ain't firing himself.
What?
Yeah.
Have the owner do it. Fire the owner.
Right.
GM. Hell out of here.
Yeah, speaking of coaches getting fired, Alex Cora, he is not going to be with the Red Sox. They have mutually agreed to part ways before the investigation.
Yeah, that's what they said. Hey.
No sale on that. I got to be honest with you, though. If you're the Red Sox, like, is that because they think the cheating scandal is going to come back on them for their World Series? That's got to be what it is, right?
I mean, it has to be. If the Astros got the Astros gentleman got hit with a 1-year ban and then they got fired, and supposedly Alex Cora was the ringleader of this whole thing, he's probably going to get a big ban too.
Didn't they say the manager was Lynch? That he broke some Hinch. Of those monitors.
AJ Hinch. Yeah.
AJ Hinch.
Yeah.
Trying to get him to stop.
Okay.
Yeah, no, that's true.
And that was in the report that he was like, no, I'm outraged by this cheating, and he tried to smash the monitors.
Yeah. Sure. Sure.
Really? You are the worst when it comes to that. You don't think nobody does
no
the right thing.
No sale on that one.
You don't think anybody does the right thing, right?
He set up a fake monitor that had nothing to do with cheating, and he smashed it.
The Astros are so blatant with their cheating. It's like it's not even worth debating that you were trying. I was trying to stop it. Get out of here, dude.
Okay. But think about this, like, and I'm torn by this, and I've always been. If you bat 300, if you bat 300, yeah, you're a Hall of Famer,
mm-hmm,
right? I mean, knowing what the pitch is in baseball does what? It's still hard to do.
Still hard to do, but it's easier. Like, I mean, a guy can't.
How much easier?
A pitcher can't fool you as much. A pitcher has to. A lot of batters missing is the deception of what a pitcher is going to throw. If you know what a pitcher is going to throw, it's not all of it, but it does help.
I believe this, that guys who have good contact regardless. So Christian Yelich, no matter what his circumstances are, he's always going to be able to put the bat on the ball because that's just one of the skills that he possesses.
Mm-hmm.
If I were to take Stanton and tell him what the pitch is, he's still going to swing and miss a lot. That's just what he does.
Yeah, but it's like it's almost like I'm sure Ken Jennings is probably going to be fantastic at Jeopardy no matter what, but imagine Ken Jennings knowing the categories ahead of time. He'll smoke you. Like Christian Yelich, I'm sure Christian Yelich would do fine, but if you have a guy of Christian Yelich's talents,
it's two different things.
And he knows the pitches.
Hitting a baseball, regardless, is really hard. Okay, say, I tell you what. I'm going to tell you what the pitch is, but it's coming at you at 100.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Embracing yourself. You already know. You know it's a fastball. You already know the guy's 400.
You guys make it sound like it's real easy. No.
Because there's some people that, yeah, but there's some people that are Justin Verlander, and there's some that are Teron Guerrero, who, you know, what is he, Robbie?
Hey, wait, why is this guy telling me? This guy says, Leroy, go grab a bat and have Yamamoto throw a pitch at you and see if it's easy. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm the one saying it's very difficult. These clowns are saying it would be
easy. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm saying of the best hitters in the world, if you're going to give them an advantage, it's just like the Patriots cheating with Spygate. It's like, is it mostly talent? Yeah. Is it mostly that they're really, really good? Yeah. But they also have an edge on knowing your plays?
Somebody said they do know the categories ahead.
Hmm?
Somebody said in Jeopardy they do know the categories ahead.
Oh, whatever, Jeopardy nerd. Shut up. Minus one.
Wow.
But they don't know the questions. If they knew the questions ahead, that would be a big advantage.
Leroy, just stop. Stick to football.
I mean, the clues.
It makes a huge difference. I got to tell you. Right?
CeCe Sabathia said they were cheated out of the World Series.
Yeah, okay.
That's what he said.
Nope. They were cheated out of the World Series because he was skinny CC instead of fat CC.
I think he was fat CC for this one.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think Bill Plaschke said that the Astros had to, since the Dodgers got screwed out of both of those World Series, that the Astros had to return the Commissioner's Trophy and just leave that championship exempt.
This makes more of a valid point.
Go ahead.
I don't think you can make this argument when the team that did it won the World Series.
That's what I'm saying, though. Like,
right.
You think
they're the only team that does it?
Let me tell you something right now.
Go.
You could have had the Marlins last year.
Right.
Cheating, knowing everything.
They ain't
winning the World Series.
Right.
But if I have MVPs, like they have multiple MVPs
on their
team.
Altuve, Springer, Correa.
Like the lineup that they have. So you're giving them advantages and they're also awesome. Yeah, I think it's going to give them an edge.
All right.
You know, I just realized it's on those Astros cheating teams who... Brian McCann, the holiest keeper of the game.
Yeah, where you at, McCann? Where's your holier-than-thou rules now? I dare you to give back your World Series ring, coward!
You know, well, I'm a chicken fried.
Guys, on Saturday night, February 1st, 7ticketandradio.com present The Night Before at the BB&T Center, starring Zach Brown Band. Join us for the biggest big game pre-party in South Florida with Grammy Award winner Zach Brown Band. Tickets for this show are on sale at Ticketmaster.com. They are going fast, but I have a pair of tickets right now. Call us up, 786-360-0790. That's 786-360-0790. Call number 3 will get themselves a pair of tickets to see Zach Brown Band at The Night Before, presented by Radio.com and 790 The Ticket. Again, call us up, 786-360-0790. Call 3 will get themselves a pair of tickets to Zach Brown Band. We are going to talk to Adam Beasley in about 10 minutes.
I wonder if we could change those lyrics to Chicken Lips.
You know what? You get to writing, Mr. Laugh Factory. You make your song. While you're learning Beck, and you have to figure out those lyrics, because the least patient bookie I've ever met, Dina Lang.
Right. Like she want to break kneecaps already. 7 hours after the game.
Like where's it at? First of all, I want to see these shoulder pads you were so prepared to come in with. I want to see them, because I don't believe you. Because I know for a fact, if you had shoulder pads, they're probably still in the back of that car. So I want to go into the back of that car, and I want to see some shoulder pads the size of Leroy Horde's back in the 90s.
The what now?
Your shoulder pads, man.
Oh, yeah.
Because she's saying in her post, I was fully prepared to be in full professional football player attire. Not buying it.
Yeah.
Not buying it. We weren't expecting you to do it the next day.
Right.
Let me warm up my pipes a little bit.
I told her it was going to be
time. I didn't even know what song it was. I thought there were a bunch of things on the table. Now, all of a sudden, everybody's calling us a welcher around the building.
First of all, I should not be required to sing a song that has another language in it. Sorry.
It's crazy. Hey, Beck, what are you, showing off? Going out here and you're trying to impress people with your dual languages and your song Loser? I had no idea that there was Spanish in Loser. I just know that I'm a loser, baby. Oh, don't you kill me.
Hey, it's 0-2, Stanton. Guess what's coming? Low and outside slider.
Oh, he's not hitting that.
Right.
Oh, he's not.
Dude, does he need a signal? Does he need a signal from the second baseman? Right? Hey, Slider, low and outside.
I like this text, 67974. McCann is keeper of the unwritten rules. The written ones he could care less about. Fair point, sir. Well done.
Point for Texter.
That's great, man.
So I'm not disputing that there's an advantage.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm disputing is just because you know, does it mean you can hit the ball?
I like more the fact that I think probably, I bet you more teams are doing this.
Right. That's right. Look, in Little League baseball, in high school baseball, you ready? You're at second base. You read the signal. Straight arm fastball. Curveball this way. Everybody did it.
Here's the problem. Okay, but now your Little Leaguer is Jose Altuve.
Here's the problem. The problem is I don't necessarily think that they're penalizing them for stealing signals. It's the way in which they, like, this was
over
an elaborate scam.
Yeah.
That's what they're talking
about. They were out there like 007.
Right.
Trying to break things down.
Right, yep. Right. Like, they were breaking code and everything.
Yeah.
So I think that's what the issue is.
100%.
Because, I mean, come on. It was stealing, it's not that hard. You only got five fingers.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you could figure it out.
There's a reason a catcher doesn't just throw down one thing. Like, they go through a series of signs because they know people are out there stealing.
Right.
Otherwise, the catcher would just tell you, you know, he would hit his chest for fastball and hit his leg for curveball or something like that. But the reason they go through a series of signals, they know people are stealing signals.
Right.
But it's the way they're doing it.
The same thing would have to be about Bounty Gate. The same thing about, look, for years we've had, you know, bonus bucks for big hits, big tackles, you know, stuff like that,
mm-hmm.
right? And you've had coaches, you know, you hear it all the time. Hey, when that little Danny receiver comes across the middle of the field, knock his ass out. Let him feel let him know it's going to be tough coming in there, right? Always. Nobody said it out loud, like an actual bounty for hitting the guy.
Texter writes in, while y'all to perform well, don't half-ass it. Take all the time you need. That's what I'm trying to say. You want me to go out here and put on a performance of a guy? I didn't even know what his song was.
I got to tell you.
I'm very disappointed.
This song is going to get a lot of mumbles.
I'm gonna be Eddie Vedder-ing this entire thing.
Eddie Vedder?
Yeah. Again.
Still alive. You think Zaz is right now so mad at you?
Why? That's what his songs are. That's what they sound like. Samesies. This is what he sounds like in his songs.
Should we throw a couple of Weddlemans in there?
My Weddleman will be three. I'm stealing signs like Giancarlo Stanton. Here comes an 0-2 slider. Will he lay? Oh. It's almost too clear.
You guys got beat by a woman that doesn't even watch sports. You got to be ashamed of yourselves.
We are ashamed of ourselves.
What?
We are.
Dude.
Can I get 24 hours? Can I get 24 hours? I had crust in my eyes still from watching Ed Orgeron celebrate. Ed Orgeron didn't even eat a celebratory ham sandwich. And Dina was coming to collect.
Right.
Jeez. All right. Adam Beasley. Good news on Tua, it seems, yesterday. We'll talk some Dolphins with Bees next. Welcome back, everybody. It is Tobin and Leroy here with you on the ticket. We're going to talk to WBO middleweight champion Demetrius Andrade. Next hour, he is going to fight in Luke Keeler Super Bowl week down here. He is headlining DAZN's card. They're building a facility for people to go watch boxing. It's going to be a cool week, man. Super Bowl week. Everyone's going to be down here. Ryan Tannehill probably going to be down here wearing assless chaps, telling everybody to kiss his ass. And I mean, honestly, he deserves it. He deserves it. We shouldn't be offended if he does decide to come here assless chaps. So let's go out to the Toyota of Hollywood guest line. Shop over 1,500 Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. And then we'll find our guy, Adam Beasley from the Miami Herald. Bees, good morning.
How great would it be if Tannehill took a heel turn? Because it is so not in his nature to talk any trash at all. If he came down here with a swagger, it would be spectacular.
Bees, two words. Assless chaps.
Yeah, I mean, I've got three or four pairs in my closet. Let's not talk about that.
What has your reaction been to watching him this postseason? I know that he has had Derrick Henry behind him, who's been an absolute monster, but look, man, he's a win away from the Super Bowl, and he is still executed well for the Titans. So how have you experienced what Tannehill's been doing?
There are two sides of this coin, Tobin, and the one side is, as you as a Jaguars fan, Blake Bortles was in that same exact spot that Ryan Tannehill is now. So I think maybe pump the brakes on crowning him completely. He has a great team around him. He's got a great system. Look, this is the perfect situation for Ryan Tannehill, and it's the offense they should have built in Miami. Philbin and Gase were so pass happy, they didn't understand that that wasn't going to work with a guy who had some limitations. But what he did well, he did really, really well. And that's play action, bootleg, throwing the deep ball. And, yes, I know he struggled earlier in his career going deep, but under Gase, he was one of the more accurate deep ball passers in the league, and that's what the Titans are asking him to do. So when he's in that controlled setting, and it is a controlled setting, he's getting great protection. They're playing mostly with leads. He's not asking his team to rally. His team's not asking him to rally, but he did. I mean, they beat the Chiefs because he brought them the whole way back, and that was awesome. So he can do that as well. But I'm saying, by and large, if you ask him to do these three things and that he does well, he's going to put you in a position to win, and that's great. It is kind of bittersweet that formula was never figured out here in Miami, that they kept trying to fit a square peg into a round hole. But there was never any doubt that he could throw the football, that he was an athletic guy, that he had some ability. He was just a fish out of water here in Miami, no pun intended.
Well, what do you make of, speaking of the deep ball, his former teammate Mike Wallace tweeting at him during the game where he's like, it wasn't you, bro, the environment was toxic.
Toxic ass environment.
And then a couple tweets later, he goes, yeah, but he couldn't get the deep ball to you. He goes, yeah, sometimes things change. He goes, these are facts, but sometimes things change.
And also, he said, yeah, he wasn't good with me, but I guess he wasn't bad.
I mean, like,
improve as a professional? Huh, that's an interesting thought.
The cynic in you thinks, man, it's been 7 years developing this guy only for him to flourish under somebody else. And certainly a lot of the battle scars and the lessons he learned here in Miami, he's applied in Tennessee. I'll ask you guys this, because we kind of joked about it earlier in the season, but it was joking because it was stopping us from laughing. If the Dolphins hadn't have blown it up this past year, they would have been a playoff contender, and they may have been a playoff team. Do you think that they could have put together what the Titans have put together and made a run with Ryan Tannehill?
No. Here's why. Because if you look at all the playoff teams, the one thing they all have in common is they, for the most part, committed to the run. And at no point in time did the Dolphins ever have anybody in place that would commit.
I think your friend Brennan Tobin would disagree. 2016, they had a certain running back.
But that was by accident, right?
That's the truth of it, though. Like, I don't want to like dance on Adam Gase's grave, because I mean, I feel like everybody's on my bandwagon now on that one. But he didn't want to play like that. He wanted his own identity, and he wanted to, instead of going with the personnel that got him there, he'd rather do it his way. And so I don't think he would have continued to succeed here. But you know, it's just all too poetic. You're watching what he's doing, and he's now the toast of their town. It's pretty crazy.
What do you think the reaction will be? And you're on the air 4 hours a day if they win on Sunday.
Everybody's gonna all of a sudden say they're happy for Tannehill.
Well, that's the thing. I've been kind of marveling at how much people have felt good. I guess that just speaks to he was a good guy and people feel good for him. But I mean, you know, this entire year has been because they want to find somebody who's better than him. That's what all of this has been for. And now that you're seeing it slapped right in your face that, Well, he won in Foxborough. That's all I've been looking for is a quarterback to go win in Foxborough. He's now a win away from getting to the Super Bowl. So everything that you kind of worked for this year, you didn't need to do if you would have just done it better or done it right, it seems. You know?
Yeah, no, I agree. I think there's one part of this, one aspect of this equation that we haven't discussed, and that's the Titans are paying him $3 million this year.
Mm-hmm.
The Dolphins were on a $26 million cap number for Ryan Tannehill if he would have played this year.
Right.
So he is the best value in professional sports at $3 million for the Tennessee Titans. He would have been a terrible value for the Dolphins. So from a purely strictly economic standpoint, the Dolphins are smart to move on. It's just terrible timing, and Steve Ross has got to be apoplectic right now. I mean, he's got to be – if the stadium that he spent $1 billion making it look amazing, if the quarterback he gave up on after seven seasons comes down and wins a Super Bowl in that building –
oh, that would be so funny.
Oh, my God.
It can't feel good. It really can't.
The other thing is that, Adam, I've said this, you know, and you've heard me say this a lot. They put all this on Ryan Tannehill not being able to do this and do that and do this while never ever really commenting on the defense being the worst in the league since he's been here, while he was here.
Right. Well, and again, and I think part of the equation is this. He was eating up a big part of that cap number, and Ndamukong Suh was eating up the rest. So they didn't have the resources to do what the Titans have done, which is build a complete team.
Right.
And when you have your – because he's essentially on a rookie deal right now for the Titans. The Dolphins paid him $5 million, and the Titans are paying him like $2.5 million, okay? Mm-hmm. So that's like – he's Josh Rosen right now, essentially. That's the contract he's on for the Titans. You can build a championship-level team around a quarterback on his rookie contract a lot easier than you can a guy who's making $18, $19, $20 million a year, which Tannehill was doing here. So there are so many levels to this. Did Mike Tannenbaum screw up by keep kicking the can down the road with Tannehill's contract and Sue's contract? So they had these massive cap numbers that they had to say goodbye to decent to pretty good to really good players in the case of Sue because they just couldn't afford them anymore? Yes, there's something to be said about that. But each of those times he did that, Tannenbaum did that thinking, man, we have a chance to build a contender. We need to open up a little bit more space so we can get Robert Quinn or Mario Williams or insert, you know, high-priced free agent defensive lineman here. And each time they picked the wrong player to add to the equation, and it didn't work.
All right, well, they have a big decision, obviously, coming up. What did you make of the news yesterday from Tua's agent that he is reportedly going to be healthy and ready to throw for teams in April? And how did the Dolphins take this news? Is this going to put more competition for them coming up in the draft? What did you make of all that yesterday?
Yeah, I mean, we're what, January 15th, 14th, whatever that is. We're 3 months off probably still from seeing Tua throw. And there are so many hurdles that have to be crossed between now and then. The biggest one is the combine. He's not going to throw or run there. He won't be ready yet. But what he will do is probably even more important, which is go through the medical and meet with all the doctors and get his body examined from head to toe. And that's when you won't hear from his doctors. You won't hear from his agent. You'll hear from impartial doctors, people that are going to tell teams the truth about his health. And if he gets through that with all thumbs up, and again, that's not a certainty yet, but if he does and his body gets to the point in April that he can have his own private pro day, which is sounds like what the plan's going to be, and he gets through that like he looks like he always did, he's going to be a top five pick. He is. It's going to be either the Miami Dolphins or someone's going to trade in front of him to pick him because, yes, there is concern long-term about him staying healthy. Is he fragile? Is he made of glass? Is he going to break down every season? Those concerns remain. But if the hip is structurally sound and he's able to run and play on it and he's the same quarterback he was in September, a team is going to take that risk. A team is going to say, you know what, if there's a 70% chance that he gets through the next five seasons and plays 85 to 90% of the games, and there's a 30% chance he's out of the league in 2.5-3 years, I'm going to take that 70% chance because we think he is a generational talent, because we think he was going to be the number one pick easily in the draft. And even with what Joe Burrow has done, a lot of scouts say Tua is a better pro prospect, even than Joe Burrow, who had maybe the best college football season in history this past year. A team is going to take that risk, and the more I think about it, I think that team's going to be the Miami Dolphins. There's no way, especially if Ryan Tannehill wins the Super Bowl, they blew up this entire team for the idea of getting a quarterback, and a healthy dude is there at five that you think can be a generational talent. They're going to take him. He's going to be their quarterback in 2020 and beyond.
So Adam, if I have two questions. One, if everybody thinks so highly of him, why wouldn't Cincinnati take him? One.
Because there is that health concern.
Well, I'm saying if there's not. I'm saying all the things that you said have to be clear for the Dolphins to take him at five, then why wouldn't Cincinnati take him at one?
Because there's still uncertainty. There's still risk that guy who has had three surgeries in 2 years now.
Now, if you had the same scenario, right? Under no circumstance are you trading any picks to move up, correct?
The Dolphins?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. I think they would consider it. Look, the pivot point is the Lions. And I think Isaiah Simmons is the name to keep in mind because we all think that Burrow's going to go one and Chase Young is going to go two. Now, Isaiah Simmons, we saw on Monday, even though in a losing effort, he is a versatile, really good player that can play about 50 different positions. And guess what? Matt Patricia values those players just like Brian Flores values those players. And you know what? So does Patrick Graham, whose team will be sitting there at four making a pick as well. So I think each of those three teams would love to get their hands on Isaiah Simmons. If the Lions feel like trading back to five or even six to the Chargers, they get more in return than Simmons would provide to their team, they'll do it. If not, they'll take the player. And then the Giants have a huge decision to make. Would they consider trading down a spot and getting the player they'd get anyway at four because the Dolphins would trade up for Tua, or do the Chargers offer them more? I think there's a very high level of certainty that Tua will either be a member of the Dolphins and the Chargers in 2020. And the question is, which of those teams above those two teams has enough offered to them to move back to pass on a player they might otherwise take? So, yeah, I think there's a real possibility, Leroy, the Dolphins are going to have to move up, even if it's just a spot, even if it's just from five to four, because the Giants then would be getting the player they wanted at four at five, and they'd be getting more assets for it. I think that's the scenario, either three or four. There's no way that the Redskins are going to pass on Chase Young. They're going to take him. That's who the pick is going to be at two, unless something crazy happens in Washington. So three and four, those are the pivot points. The Dolphins might get lucky, and Tua falls the whole way to five, and they don't have to give up anything. But I think they're going to make calls to Detroit and to New York to see what it's going to take to move up a spot or two.
Thanks for the time, Bees. Appreciate it, man.
Thanks, Bees.
All right. Senior Bowl next week. You want to talk again?
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Oh yeah. We got to know what's going on in Alabama.
All right. Give me a
call. Herbert's there. Herbert's going to be there.
Herbert.
Flirting with Herbert.
Later.
See you, Bees. That's Adam Beasley. We will check in with him next week, get a Senior Bowl update. We'll be back with more. Give you a chance to win $1,000 coming up in about 8 minutes' time. Stay tuned. Give you your next code word. Be back right after this.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.